Good morning. Today's daf is Me'ila Daf Beis, otherwise known as the beginning of the Masechta. This morning we are starting one of the last Masechtas in Seder Kachim. As far as Gemaras are concerned, so there's Me'ila and then there's Karmen Tabit. And that's it. In terms of Mishnayos, Masechtas with Mishnayos and Gemara. In terms of other Masechtas is concerned, there's going to be Midos and Kinnim. And I think that's it. Anyway, with all said and done, we are rounding down to the end of Seder Kachim. Then we start Taharos. We start Taharos and finish Taharos. We're only doing one Masecht in Taharos, Seder Taharos. We're only doing Masecht in Nida, because that's the only Masecht that has Gemara to it. Here at the end of Seder Kachim, we're going to be treated in Daf Yomi, in that we're going to be doing Masechtos that have Mishnah, no Gemara. Okay. Anyway, coming events. In the meantime, however, let's start a Masecht with just a short introduction. The psukim in the Torah, not that many. Three psukim altogether. One of them is Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. So let's now narrow it down to two psukim in the Torah that discusses this Isser of Me'ila. The Torah says, Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, Perikei, and now I'm going to start in Pasuk Tezvav, Nefesh Kisimol Ma'al, if a person was Mo'el. So it would be unbelievable if a person, if the reader understood what the word Mo'el meant, meaning that there's an Isser of Me'ila, and the Torah describes it as Me'ila. So what exactly is Me'ila? So Rashi over here on Chumash, I'm reading Rashi on Chumash. Kisimol Ma'al ain Me'ila b'chomakum ela shinui. Rashi writes that Me'ila is shinui. It means by definition change. V'chein ho amar v'yamalo b'elohei avoseihem v'yizenu acharei elohei amei ha'aretz. Right, changing from the Kadosh Baruch Hu of our forefathers and replacing it with false idols. So it's a change. So also by Sota, the pasuk says Umaala Baumaal. So over there, a little bit interesting in terms of how that represents change, meaning well, maybe she's substituting one man with another man. Maybe that's the change. But in any event, so the word Me'ila, as Rashi defines on Chumash, means the change. So you're affecting a change. As we will be discussing over the course of the Masechta, Me'ila doesn't just simply mean that you change something, although that is going to be one of the ways of violating the Isser of Me'ila. Change could also mean something like Shinu Rishus, changing possession from one to another. That also is a form of change.
What about also Dikui?
And the we'll discuss in terms of
substitution,
right? Okay, right. There are other ways in which a person can violate the Isser of Me'ila. Okay, anyway, going back to the psukim, still in the short introduction. So, nefesh kisimol ma'al, so if a person were to do me'ila, v'chata b'shkaga, and he does so unintentionally. Me'kachi Hashem, and he does so kachi Hashem. So, kachi Hashem means something that is going to be designated for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's an important phrase. I mean, every phrase over here is important, but significant in that it's going to be shaping a lot of our halachas, as we're going to be seeing in the course of our first parak of me'ila. Ve'evis Hashem ol Hashem ayo tamim. So the Torah over here talks about what are going to be the consequences of being mal behekdesh. So the Torah starts off by saying you're going to have to bring a carbon asham. This is the asham me'ila. I know we discussed it extensively back in the previous masechta. And by the way, that is the simple link between the previous masechta and our masechta. Previously we were talking about the carbon asham. Now we're going to continue talking about the carbon asham as it relates to me'ila. The Torah goes on to say now, this is Pasuk Tzayin, V'esasher chatam in HaKadosh Yishalem. So now you also have to make restitution, meaning that now you took from the Beis HaMikdash, and so you're going to have to make compensation. First, the Torah talks about the principal value in which you're going to have to compensate. V'eschamish Yisoh, Yosef Alav. And you're going to also have to add on a fifth as well. As we have done the math numerous times, a fifth in the Torah really means a fourth for you and I, the way you and I speak. So you and I speak when we talk about 25%, so we call it a quarter. When the Torah talks about 25%, it talks about it as a fifth. The Torah knows math. Torah is very familiar with how fractions work. When the Torah gives us a fifth, it's talking about milah bar. It's talking about from the outside. So that means to say that when the Torah says a fifth, it means after it's tacked on, it's going to be a fifth. So that means to say, I'll give you a simple example, $100. $100, let's say you add a quarter onto $100, that's 25. So that's 125. What's a fifth of 125? 25. So the number that the Torah is giving is a fifth milavar. Okay. V'nasan asol ha-Kohen, and that's going to be given to the Kohen. V'akon yichapir alav be'el ha-Hashem v'nisach lo. And the Kohen is going to be offering the carbon Hashem that you brought. So there are, we'll call it three consequences for violating the Isser of Me'ila. One is that you have to bring a carbon. Two, you have to make compensation. Three, you also have to add on a fifth of that which you were moa. With that stated,
like shogeg is worse than
Mezid?
Shogeg is shogeg.
Mezid doesn't have to pay the.
Yeah, right. Correct. Mezid you don't have to pay. Chumash mezid you don't bring a carbon asham. So that means shogeg is worse than no. It means that shogeg there is an opportunity for kapara. For mezid the Torah does not give opportunities for kapara. Okay, that's the simple pshat of the difference between mezid versus shogeg. Okay. We're going to be discussing here in the first parak of the Masechta Milah as it relates to Karbanos. Now, by Karbanos, there is going to be a guiding principle, and it's a simple guiding principle, and that's Kachay Hashem. Meaning, we read in the Psukim. When by Karban, the only part of the Karban that's subject to the Milah is the parts that are going to be exclusively in the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. But Karban Shlamim. After I shech the Karban Shlamim, so you sprinkle the blood, the Imurim, parts of the animal go up onto the Mizbeach, and the rest of the Karban is going to be eaten by you and I. So obviously, you can't call that mi'ilah. That's not misappropriation. That is called appropriate. That's exactly what we should be doing. We should be eating the karban shlamim. So in terms of misappropriation by karban, so it has to be the part that is exclusively in the domain of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then going to be and misappropriated by you or I. That is going to be the guiding principle behind Mi'ila as it relates to a carbon. Also, as we all know, basic differences between carbonos. Carbon, first of all, Kedushas of Mizbech versus Kedushas Bedek Abayis. We're going to be talking about Kedushas Mizbech, those things that have intrinsic sanctity, those things which have Kedushas Agav. That will be our focus for this morning and quite frankly for the first parak. We'll talk about Kedushas Bedek Abayis and Mi'ila vis-a-vis Kedushas Bedek Abayis later in the Masechta. And within carbonos, within Kedushas Agav, Kedushas Mizbeach, you have two basic categories. One is Kachay Kachim, and the other is Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kalim is Shlamim, right? Shlamim is Shlamim, Toda, Karm Pesach, so Bechor, Meiser. We've gone through all this. We're towards the end of Seder Kachim, so we are all very familiar with the basic breakdown of that which is Kachim Kalim versus Kachay Kachim. Kachay Kachim, on the other hand, a Karmen Ola, Chatas, and Asham, Menachos. So those are Kachay Kadashim. Okay, and as far as Me'ilah is concerned, so again, you have to work with what is Kachay Hashem. So by a Shlamim, so before the animals, once the animal is designated as a Karban, so is it Kachay Hashem? Well, no. In other words, it's not exclusively a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Part of the animal actually is going to be enjoyed by us. As a Karban right now, what are we waiting for? We're waiting for the Avoda, Shchita, Kabbalah Sadam, Holacha Zrika. Once Rika occurs, now what? The animal's divided. Part of it is going to go to us and the Kohanim, and part of it is going to go on the Mizbeach. So after Zrika Saddam, the part that goes on to the Mizbeach, that's Kachay Hashem. That's by Kachim Kalim. Let's do the same thing with Kachay Kadashim, right? A Chatas or an Ola or an Asham. So when you are Makdish the animal by Karban Ola, so at that point in time, what is this Karban now? It's Kachay Hashem. Even an Asham and a Chatas is Kachay Hashem. Parts of it are going to be eaten by the Kohanim after the Shechita. That's true. But that's Mishulchan Gavol Kazachu. They're basically eating off of God's table, so to say. So by Kachay Kadashim, so it's going to be Kachay Hashem. At the point when you were Maktishin. And now, at what point in time is Mi'ila going to go away? Mi'ila's not going to go away for some time. Meaning, you shecht it. Sprinkle the right Shechita, Kabbalas Adam, Holacha, Zrika. You go through the Vdalat of Odos. After sprinkling the blood, now what happens with the Karbanola? It's still Kachay Hashem because the Karbanola has to go up onto the Mizbeach, reduced to ashes on the top of the Mizbeach. Only after it's been reduced to ashes on the top of the Mizbeach, then and only then is it no longer going to be Kachay Hashem, and then and only then is it no longer going to be subject to the Isser of Me'ilah. Okay, basics, very basics. When our Mishnah starts over here, when our Masechta starts, it's going to be starting with such a detail. And this is for the norm. As we see throughout Masechtas, time and again, Masechtas do not start with the general principles, but rather what the Masechta starts is with a detail, expecting us to know the general principles. So it's always a circle, it's a loop when learning. You got to know in order to know. You got to learn in order to learn. But that's the way the Masechtas generally work. And you just get used to it. Second time, third time learning the Masechta, so it just gets better, gets easier. Because now you know the principles, and then now you're able to simply plug it in. The Mishnah starts off, Kachay Kadashim Sheshachtim Bedaro. So if I have Karbanos that fall under the category of Kodesh Kadashim. So again, Chatos, Olosh, Asham. So Mincha also, but we're talking about animals. So if we are talking about Kodesh Kadashim that was shechted in the south, okay, basic operating principle when shechting a Kodesh Kadashim, it has to be shechted on the north side of the Azara. The Azara, as we will be learning in detail in the upcoming Masechtos of Tamid and Midos. So the Azara is divided with a Mason-Dixon line running right through the center of the Azara, and you have the north and you have the south, and when it comes to Kachim Kalim, they can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. When it comes to Kachim Kadashim, like an Ola or an Asham and Achatos, it has to be shechted in the north. Shechting in the south, that's going to be a psul. What our mission is going to be discussing is how much of a psul. A psul enough so that the Isra of Me'ila is no longer there, or no, it's a psul, but the Isra of Me'ila is still going to be intact. That's what we're discussing in our Mishnah. It is admittedly a detail within Me'ila of a carbon, but that's where we start. So Kachi Kadashim Sheshachtim Bedar Mo'alim Behem. So our Mishnah teaches us a Chiddush, despite the fact that it was shechted in the wrong place, i.e. in the south, nevertheless, there's still going to be an Isra of Me'ila on such carbon. Shechtim Bedarim B'kibal Damam B'Tzafon, and then the Mishnah over here really stays on this point. Let's say you do the Shechita in the south, but you were mekabel the blood in the north. So you were literally on the border between the north and the south of the Azara. The Shechita was done in the south, but Kabbalah Sadam was in the north. Or conversely, B'Tzafon, let's say it was Shechtim in the north, B'kibal Damam B'Darim, or the blood was accepted in the south. Shacha b'yom v'zark b'layla. Let's say the shechita was done during the day, the zrika was done at night. V'layla v'zark b'yom. Or let's say the shechita was done at night and the zrika was done during the day. Osha shechtim chutz zman v'chutz m'komo. Or let's say it was shechted with a machshava of pigle. Or, right, either pigle. The major pigle, the minor pigle, where when the Kohen Shech says he articulates and says that this carbon is going to be eaten either beyond the prescribed time or beyond the prescribed place, in either event, Mo'alan Behem, there will be still Mi'ila by this carbon. Despite the fact that we did something which really upsets the carbon, nevertheless, there's still going to be an Isser of Mi'ila.
You're
going
to get two punishments for
them? What do you mean two punishments?
Pigol and Mi'ila.
Again, the making of pigol is an Avera, but it's the by right. But the Isser of Kares is when you consume the pigol that was created. Okay. Kala Amar Yishu Kol Shayilu Shas Heta Lekoanim Eight Malam Ba. V'Chol Shaloi Yashas Heta Lekoanim Malam Ba. And Rabbi Yeshua says, let's wrap this up into a general rule. As long as it had Heta Lekoanim, there's no longer going to be Meila. But Kol Shaloi Hayala Shas Heta Lekoanim Malam Ba. But if it never had a Shas Heta for Kohanim, there is going to be Meila by it. Ezuhu Shihayalo Shas Heta Lekoanim. Let's give examples, illustrations of something that had a Zman Heta for Kohanim. It was Zman Heter Kohanim, by the way, Rashi points out, at that point in time, once the Kohanim were able to enjoy it, so then it's no longer Kodshei Hashem. Again, we keep going back to that very critical point, that when it's within the realm of Kodshei Hashem, subject to Me'ila, once it's no longer within the realm of Kodshei Hashem, no longer subject to Me'ila. So at what point in time, let's say that it's Avashas Heter Kohanim, Shelana, Shenitma, Sheyatza, Shenishchata, Chutzuzmano, Chutzim Koma, Shilana v'shinitma v'shiyatza. So three examples of something that had a shaseter. Either lina, where the blood was not sprinkled on the mizbeach within the day that it was shechted. Nitma'a, the carbon becomes tamei after it was shechted and after the blood was sprinkled properly. Shiyatza, or let's say it was taken out of the area of the azara. So these are examples where the carbon was offered correctly and properly. It just happens to be that the animal, the carbon itself, experienced any one of these psulim, but after it became mutter to the Kohanim, since there was a Shas Hetel Kohanim, it now leaves the domain of Kachay Hashem and leaves the domain of the Isra of Me'ila. Ezu Shalohai Lo Shas Hetel Kohanim. Give me examples of a carbon that did not have a Shas Hetel and therefore remain in Kachay Hashem and therefore going to be still subject to the Isra of Me'ila. Let's say it was shechted either chutz zman or chutz kamo, which means now that it's still going to have a status of pigle. But that means, of course, that this occurs before the shas hetel kohanim, and therefore it's going to remain in the realm of kachi Hashem. V'shikiblu psulim v'zarku es damam. Or let's say somebody who was not qualified to be mekabel the dam daso, i.e. not a kohen, or somebody not qualified was Zorik as Adam, i.e. not a Kohen. So under those circumstances, it was a Karban with no Shas Hetel Kohanim, and therefore still going to be subject to the Isra of Me'ila. It kind of takes us to the first Mishnah of the Masechta, and now we start with the Gemara. Just observations before we start with the Gemara. One, these Dapim are much shorter than those of Croesus, so it'll be a little bit easier just to navigate the daf to make it through each and every day. On the other hand, you will see that Girsaus is a bit of an issue over here in the Masechta. We saw it back in Croesus and in Temura as well, but Girsaus certainly is an issue, and the Girsaus have not been worked over. The editing of the Gemara has not been worked over, as well as the Masechtas that are quote-unquote more popular, and historically were just simply learned a lot more often. And so therefore we find very often that we're going to get a snag because we're going to get stuck a little bit in what is the correct Girsa of the Gemara. Rashi on the Masechta, I could have made this point in the beginning, but I'll make it right now. Rashi on the Masechta probably is not Rashi, but a Rishon that took on the role of Rashi. Where is Rashi on Masechta Me'ila? Wonderful question, one in which I don't have an answer for. What is a wonderful indication that there is no Rashi on the Masechta? So if you take a look at Tosos over here, there is a Tosos. Tosos acts more like a Perish than he does in this more classic sense. In the classic sense, Tosos is assuming that Rashi already explained the Gemara, and then Tosos goes into a discussion of comparing this Gemara to another Gemara and asking questions that are just beyond the scope of simple pshat in the Gemara. However, over here in Me'ila, you will find that Tosos is just simply saying simple pshat. So that means to say that Tosos was operating without already a Rashi. Okay, so these are just good observations to make in terms of when we're starting the Gemara. Back to the Gemara. Ketani, Kachi, Kadosh, Sheshachim, Medorah, Malam, Bam, Shita. The Gemara starts off by suggesting that our Mishnah is making an obvious point. Let's consider, we're talking about a carbon, and not just a carbon, but kache kadashim. Let's say a carbonola. So now let's consider, when you are makdashit as a carbonola, it's kache Hashem, and therefore subject to me'ila. Shechting it in the south of the Azara somehow is going to remove the me'ila status, the carbon status. And basically what the Gemara is wondering right now is, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Aren't we saying something which is obvious? The Gemara says not necessarily. It's Rechsakadach Amina Hova Amr Ula Amr Rav Yochanan Kachim Shemesu Yatsu Mide Mi'ila Dvar Torah. So we're going to start off with a halacha of Rav Yochanan that we're going to hear numerous times throughout our Masechta. You have a carbon, it dies without a Shechita, without the benefit of Shechita. And so therefore it's now no longer going to be a functional carbon. It's now a Nevela. And so therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, as said over by Ula, the Isra of Mi'ila goes away. Min HaTorah. Now, Min HaTorah, by the way, indicates that there's going to be an Isra Mi'ila Durabanan. We will be discussing that this morning in terms of making basic distinctions between a Mi'ila Daraisa versus Mi'ila Durabanan. And the Gemara goes on, Hachanami Kachi Kadashim Lagabe Darim Kamad Dechankinan Dame. So here's what I would have thought. This is now going to represent our Havamina. Knowing that Ula says that an animal dies without knowing that a carbon is going to die without the proper shechita, and knowing that the Isra of Me'ila is now going to lift off of the animal, so now consider, I have a carbon, it's an Ola, I shecht in the south. It's basically like the carbon dying, meaning shechting a carbon Ola in the south is not a proper shechita. Isn't it tantamount to just basically the animal dying? And so therefore, if that's true, so then the Isra of Me'ila, at least Min HaTorah, should be lifted from the animal, should fall off the animal. That's a great Havamina. So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is giving us a Chiddush. Kachim Shemesa Lo Chazuklal. You see, if I have a carbon that dies without a Shechita, so at this point in time, Lo Chazuklal, you can't do anything with it. And when we say you can't do anything with it, let's consider what you can't do. Obviously, you can't eat it because it was a carbon, it had Kedusha, you can't eat it. What about redeeming it? You can't do that as well. Because what happens if you were to redeem the animal? The only benefit of redeeming the animal is that it's nevela. You even after redemption, you can't eat it. All you can do is just feed it to your dogs. Ein poden es hakadashim lachilas klavim. You can't redeem a carbon only so that it could be consumed by the dogs. Plus, on top of that, there's also the issue of hamada varacha, which is also going to prevent pigeon. Literally, there's nothing you could do with it. Therefore, now that it is purposeless and functionless, so therefore the Isra Me'ilah goes away. Aval darom, but taking a carbon ola and shechting it in the south. Now, it's true that it's not going to be fit or to be brought as kachik kadashim. However, aval rayhu lekachim kalim, but it's fit for kachim kalim. Now, even as the Gemara clearly articulates a distinction between a nevela versus shechting a carbon in the south, it still requires a little more explanation. It's not fit for kachim kalim, but it is fit for kachim kalim. Here's what the Gemara does not mean. The Gemara does not mean that the animal now, this carbon, is going to convert from a ola to a shlamim, as we already learned numerous times. Once a carbon is locked into a certain kedusha, that's it. It is locked into that kedusha. It can't move and adjust from one kedusha to another kedusha. That can't happen. However, and the Shita over here says this very clearly, Shita Mekubet says, also over here, working very much like a perish on the Gemara, so on the side of the Gemara, the Shita Mekubet says, writes, and Osei, that the Amr Mori HaRabbeinu Peretz, one of the Balei HaTosfos, they came into Raya LeKachim Kalim, in King Yishlo Hechsher, B'makom Echad V'ikre, P'sule B'Kodesh, K'demashma B'Perek Chatas Ha'ov, Shepsula B'Kodesh, Im Allah Lo Yered. So Rabbeinu Peretz explains that what the Gemara's answer is that when you have your carbon ola that was shecht in the south, that's called psula bekodesh. Although it is no longer a proper carbon, and it is disqualified, but in the very least, if I took it and put it up onto the mizbeach, im alu lo yardu, it's not going to come down. The kem dashkechan ap bekachei kadashim im alu lo yared, im kem kachei Hashem karina bay. So since you see that, even though lichatchila I can't take it and put up onto the mizbeach, but since post facto b'di'evad, if I put up onto the mizbeach, it may remain on the mizbeach, it still falls under the category of kachi Hashem, and therefore it's still subject to mi'ila. Okay, so again, it's going to be our guiding principle throughout our first perek that when it's within the realm of kachi Hashem, it's going to be subject to mi'ila. I have a carbon ola the shecht in the south, even though that was an improper shechita, even though that's a psul, but it's a psul b'kodesh. Still able to be brought onto the Mizbech, albeit not lechatchila, only b'di'eved, but still it's considered kachay Hashem, and it's still going to be subject to Me'ila. Okay. Lama li, back to the Gemara, picking up right where we left off, in the middle of the Amud Aleph. Lama li, the mystic, kolhani. Many examples in the Mishnah that are all speaking to the same basic point. So why do I need all these examples? Sricha, the Gemara says they're all necessary. Because itan shechtem b'darm v'kibal damam b'tzafon. Because consider, if the Mishnah only would have given me the case of shechting in the south, but accepting the blood north, hacha de isbahu mi'ila mishum de kabbalah b'tzafon. Who? So look, you did the Kabbalah in the north, and Kabbalah is really significant. Consider, by the way, obviously every avoda is significant, right? It's hard to say that avoda is less significant. However, you can make very, very basic distinctions between various avodas. Shechita, you and I could do shechita. You don't need a kohen to do shechita. The Kabbalah Saddam, only a kohen could do Kabbalah Saddam. In fact, mi Kabbalah ve'elech has to be done by kahuna. So in this regard, Kabbalah is more significant, more important, if we're allowed to say that, but just contrast. It's more important than shechita because Kabbalah has to be done by kohen. So the Kabbalah was done in the north. So that is that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Mishum de kabbalah b'tzafon hu aval shachtem b'tzafon v'kibal damam b'darom. But let's invert that, where the shechita was in the north, but the kabbalah was in the south. Hol v'kibal b'darom hu de nafig mi de mi'ila. I would have said that, look, the kabbalah was done in the south. You've really aggravated the carbon. You've really ruined the carbon by having the kabbalah done in the south. And so therefore there should be no mi'ila whatsoever. Okay. V'itana ha hava min yitma. Yamama Zman Akravahu, Avashakta Balila Vizark Bayam, Laila loves Zman Hakrava. So look, if we had just a case of shechting it during the day, so if I had the case of shechting it during the day, so look, that's a Zman Hakrava. You shech the carbon during the day. All avodas are to be done performed during the day. Avashakta Balila Vizark Bayam, but let's say you shecht it at night and you did the sprinkling during the day, Laila loves Zman Hakrava. So then nighttime is not the time that you offer it. You shecht it at night, so the iser of me'ila should go away. You have ruined the carbon to the point where it's like what Ula described moments earlier. It's like it died. Okay. Now, if I only had the case of shechting at night, okay, but at least you did the Kabbalah during the day. But if you did the Zrika at night, it is simply not the time that it should be offered. So, well, if I did the Zrika at night, again, that really upsets and ruins the carbon. And so, therefore, it'd be tantamount to the animal just simply dying. And below is behu me'ilah, therefore not subject to me'ilah, kamash malan. So that's all the chidushim on the Mishnah, where I might have thought that if I did one aspect of the avoda, either in the wrong place or in the wrong time, right, either in the south as opposed to the north, night versus day, so it would have been such an upset to the karban, it would have been such a psul in the karban, that it's ke'ilu, it's kim'at, kill the animal without shchita, that's the havamina. The chidush is no. These are all procedural disqualifications, and therefore it's still considered a karban in the sense that it's still going to be subject to me'ilah. Chutz l'zman v'chutz m'kom alamai chazi. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, so in order for it to be disqualification, but not enough to remove me'ilah, so it has to be something where it was just a procedural disqualification, like shechting in the wrong place, like shechting at the wrong time, meaning night versus day, south versus north. The Gemara says, let's consider. Pigol. Now, pigol is a super big disqualification. Again, as we've discussed numerous times, when a kohen is mefagel, when he does this machshava ra of pigol regarding a karban, so the consumption of said karban is subject to the kari's penalty. So it's obviously very serious. So question of the Gemara is, but it's only procedural, meaning somehow the isra of me'ilah is not going to be lifted off. What could possibly be good about pigol that allows the isra of me'ilah to remain? That's the Gemara's question. Chutz l'zman v'chutzim kama l'may chazu. Well, what's fit about it? So how marasin l'pigolin? So the Gemara's answer, simple answer, answer that we've seen already numerous times throughout Seder Kachim. You know, even though pigol's bad, obviously, but at the very same time, the avoda must be accomplished in order for pigol to materialize. Here's what we mean. We said this already numerous times, but we get to review. Let's say, for example, the kohen is mefagel at the time of shechita. While shechting the animal, the kohen says that this animal will be consumed 3 days from now. Chutz l'zmano. Okay, so now he has the machshava that will inject pigol into this karban, but not yet. In other words, in order for pigol to materialize, the rest of the avodas must be performed correctly. This is the idea of meratzin lepigolin. And you can take a look at Rashi over here on the Amud Beis, where Rashi basically covers the ground that I'm covering right now, in that you still have to do the Kabbalah Sadam, you still have to do the Halacha, you still have to do the Zrika. Then and only then does pigol actualize. But until that point in time, it's not pigol as of yet. So the basic idea that pigol is only going to work when the avodas are done correctly, with the only outstanding disqualification of the machshava rav pigol. Okay. And that is why, just finishing the sentence, and that's why the Isra Mi'ilah is still going to remain. Because it really is just a procedural disqualification, in that we're still going to have to go through the remainder of the avoda in order for the pigol to materialize. Ibailahu, as we are now in the top of Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara's question goes like this, Yalu Ma'ashi Yardu. Now let's say it goes up onto the Mizbeach. So can it remain on the Mizbeach, or should it be taken down from the Mizbeach? The Gemara is asking on which case, because right now we have a lot of cases on the table. The Amud Aleph of today's daf, we talked about shechting it in the south, accepting the blood in the south, shechting it at night, accepting the sprinkling the blood at night, the chusim mano, chusim kamo. There are a lot of cases on the table when the Gemara is asking this question of im alu, mahu shiyardu. So what we're really dealing with over here is, so Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos both say, slight differentiation between them, but they both say that we're asking specifically about shechting a kachi kachim in the south. Rashi, you can see the Rashi inside, Ibailahu hani d'tni b'masisin d'shina b'hen. So there was a deviation done in the avod de kagon, sheshachak b'darim no shekiba daman b'darim. Either you shecht in the south or you accepted the blood in the south. The Tosfos says it a little bit differently because Rashi uses the word kagon. You get the sense from Rashi that it could also be other cases as well. Tosfos says it's stronger. Tosfos writes, Alu Mashi Yardu Akarcha Kai Adarom. We're talking about specifically the case of shechting in the south. And Tosfos goes on to explain, the question is not really relevant to the other cases of the Mishnah. In any event, let's just say the pshat in the Gemara is simply, you shechted the Kachet Kadashim in the south, that is a disqualification. What if you put it up onto the Mizbech? Should not, obviously. You didn't offer the carbon correctly, but what if you put it onto the Mizbech? Would the Mizbech be able to tolerate? So it's a machlokus amongst the Amoraim. Rabba Amrei Imalu Yardu. Rabba says it's to be taken down. And Rav Yosef Amrei Imalu Lo Yardu. Now Rav Yosef says that if it goes up, it's not to be taken down. Now, if you remember what we said earlier this morning, you realize already that it's a little bit sticky. Mostly for Rabba. Actually, for Rav Yosef, it's fine. Because consider, when is a carbon subject to Me'ilah? As long as it's Kachi Hashem. As long as it's in the domain of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, so when something can go up onto the Mizbeach, even in a bidyavid fashion, so then it is subject to Me'ilah. So according to Rav Yosef, you understand the Mishnah? Yeah, perfectly. And the Mishnah says that if I shecht in the south, it's still subject to Me'ilah. According to Rav Yosef, because im alu lo yardu. Yeah, because if it goes up onto the Mizbeach, so then it stays on the Mizbeach. So I understand the Mishnah. What about Rabba? Rabba says, im alu yardu. No. Putting up onto the Mizbech, you take it down right now. It literally has no place on top of the Mizbech, so it's no longer Kachi Hashem. If it's no longer Kachi Hashem, so then how did Rabba understand the Mishnah? Now, really, what I just did is I set ourselves up for the end of today's daf. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Just realize and appreciate that once you understand the guiding principles of Me'ilah, so then you already could see, you could already forecast the Gemara's upcoming question. So, the Gemara now is going to be discussing this machlokes between Rabbi and Rav Yosef in somewhat more detail. So, Aliba de Rav Yehuda lo tibay lach du kolam lo pligidim alu yardu. Now, the Gemara says this machlokes amarayim between Rabbi and Rav Yosef is a limited machlokes because there already pre-exists a machlokes hatanayim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Where is this machlokes to be found? So, Rashi cites the Gemara in Zvachim. Gemara in Zvachim on daf pei dalid, right, based on the psukim of Zosi Ola. So there is a machlokas. Rashi, if you take a look at the Rashi, Dibra Maschel, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Hasan Beperkam Mizbech Mekadosh, I'm reading the Rashi. Zosi Aola Hare Elu Mi'utim, Pralash Nishbach Dama Vishalana Vishiyatza. If I have a carbon that underwent any of these disqualifications where the blood got spilled, or Lina, it stayed, it was not put on the Mizbech during the day, Yatza, or it was taken outside of the Azara in all of these cases, skip the parentheses, Shim Alu, Yardu. If it goes up onto the Mizbech, it's to be taken down. These are deal-breaking disqualifications that will inhibit the carbon to be able to be put up onto the Mizbech. So, Kulam Alo Plige, Dahani Nami Im Alu, Yardu. So, if these kinds of disqualifications, look at the ones that Rashi described over here, really subtle disqualifications. The blood got spilt. I mean, they're subtle. Right, I mean, but still, when the blood gets spilled, does that mean that the shechita was done properly, but the kabbalah was not done properly? So, but it's a detail within the blood. So, according to Rav Yehuda, in these karbanos im alu yardu, if they go up in the mizbech, they'll be taken down. Consider what we're discussing: shechting the karban in the south as opposed to the north, when the Torah clearly articulates that it should be shecht in the north. So, according to Rav Yehuda, there's no point. There's no debate. He would certainly say in such a scenario, it's to be taken down. Kiplik Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. The debate exists within Rabbi Shimon as we go now back to the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon, in the cases of the blood spilling, of Lina, Yatzah, so in those cases, Rabbi Shimon says that the carbon is to be able to go up onto the Mizbech and remain on the Mizbech, albeit not lechatchila, but at least on some level. So now within the Shita Rabbi Shimon, so now, that's the machlokus of Rabba and Rav Yosef. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Ki plig alibet Rabbi Shimon, Rav Yosef ka Rabbi Shimon. Now Rav Yosef will say, look, just like Rabbi Shimon is tolerating, or says that the Mizbech is able to tolerate psulim like Lina and Yotzei, so too is the Mizbech able to tolerate the psul of Shechita Bedarim. However, Rabba Amalachad, kan lo kamer Rabbi Shimon ala bi nitan lamata shinatan lamala, and Rabbi will tell you, look, if it's a detail within the blood, where the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, so at that point in time, the carbon was shechted properly, you accepted the blood properly, it's just a detail in the blood. So fine. So at that point in the procedure, in the avoda, So already now, we are so well into it, you already have the basics laid out. So then if it goes onto the Mizbech, it can remain on the Mizbech. What are we talking about? We're talking about where you took the carbon and you shechted it in the wrong location, in the south side as opposed to the north side. Remember, it's Kachet Kadashim. So under those circumstances, what Rabbah will tell you is that it's you're so far off base where you shechted it in the wrong place. Im alu yardu. That the Mizbech has no tolerance for. It doesn't go up onto the Mizbech. It's tantamount to the animal just simply dying on its own. Okay, so now we're gonna regather, we're gonna regroup, and now we're gonna ask the question that I already foreshadowed just a couple minutes earlier. That means that according to Rabbah, shechting a carbon kachet kadashim in the south is tantamount to the animal dying. Okay, so then there shouldn't be me'ila. Then there shouldn't be me'ila tanan kachet kadashim sheshachim badar mo'alam baham. So it's such a simple question. It took a while to develop this question, but now that we're here, it's such a simple question. According to Rabbah, there should not be an iser of me'ila, a din of me'ila, on a carbon that was shechted in the south. It'd be no different than the animal simply dying on its own, which we already established. There is no longer an iser of me'ila when a carbon dies on its own. Rabbi. Bishlama, just give me a second. I'm sorry, give me a second. Bishlama l'Rav Yosef nicha l'Rav Akasha. So again, according to Rav Yosef, it's fine because Rav Yosef says the Mizbech can tolerate it. So it falls within the realm and the domain of Kachay Hashem, and therefore the Mizbech can tolerate it. However, according to Rabbah, the Mizbech literally cannot tolerate it, and therefore there should be no iser of me'ila. So my mo'alin behen midrabanan. So the Gemara now gives us a really new way to look at the Mishnah, and that is when the Mishnah says that there's an iser of me'ila, it does not mean me'ila min haTorah, but the me'ila derabanan. Now remember what I said in the beginning, you know, the Mesechtas always start with a detail as opposed to the general rules. You talk about a detail now. According to Rabbah, our Mesechta of me'ila opens up with a case. It's not even me'ila da'oraisa. It's just me'ila derabanan. So we are so deep in the weeds of me'ila that we're looking now not even at a classic case of me'ila where it would be a Torah violation, just a rabbinic violation. I say just simply in relative terms. But just a derabanan violation. So that is obviously, we are within the details of me'ila. Now, my ika ben da'oraisa l'rabanan. So let's start off with a really simple question. If it's me'ila d'oraisa versus a rabbinically decreed me'ila, is there differences practically? The Gemara says, sure, there will be. Tosfos points out, here's what the Gemara is not going to answer. You know, carbon's not going to be the answer of the Gemara, although carbon is, of course, the difference. If you violate me'ila min haTorah, you bring a carbon asham, as we started off this morning learning. If I violate me'ila min derabanan, you're not going to bring a carbon asham. But as Tosfos over here points out, that point is so obvious, the Gemara didn't even have to say it. Because consider, I mean, Tosfos writes this. Consider, if it's me'ila derabanan, the rabbis decreed me'ila. So there's no way they could tell you to bring a karban. If you're not required to bring a karban, so that's called chulin ba'azara. The rabbis cannot, they can do a lot in terms of instituting, in terms of gzera, but they cannot manufacture an iser to the point where you're going to be required to bring a karban. So the Gemara doesn't make this difference between the two, even though, of course, it is a difference, because it's such an obvious point. Where's the subtlety? What's the difference? The difference is going to be Chomish. Daraisa Meshamim Chomish, Rabbanan Lo. If it's Me'ila Daraisa, so not only do you have to pay back principal, but you also have to pay back 25%. When it comes to Me'ila Midrabanan, so you only pay back the principal, but you don't pay back the Chomish. I'll ask the question. I'm going to propose an answer, but it won't be...
Is there a Kenas then?
Well, there is no Kenas. That's all. In other words, the kanas is that you have to pay back the principal. Because midaraisa, you don't. And the kanas now is going to be on the principal amount. Why didn't the rabbis institute chomesh? Why did they why did they leave chomesh out? So the carbon, again, that's easy. Because the carbon is, if you're not required to bring the carbon, so that's chulin ba'azara. So we know why they can't institute bringing the carbon asha me'ila. But why don't they institute chomesh? And my proposed answer, is that perhaps the chomesh is really attached to the carbon, meaning that there is some sort of linkage, correlation between the chomesh requirement and the carbon requirement. Once the carbon requirement goes away, so then the rabbis also felt that we're not going to add chomesh as well, even though we will tell them to pay back the principal amount. Umi ika mi'ila midrabanan, and the Gemara says, now, is there such a thing as mi'ila midrabanan? The Gemara's question over here, Tosfos also is really, really curious by the Gemara's question. Is there a mi'ila midrabanan? We've seen time and again throughout Shas that there is a me'ila midrabanan. And so the Gemara asking the question, hey, is there me'ila midrabanan? The answer is, Tosfos says the answer is, throughout Shas, we find right? We see the phrase, lo mo'alin v'lo nanin, right? There's no mi'ila, but you're not allowed to benefit from it. Meaning, those are forms of mi'ila midirabanan. Tosu says over here, the Gemara is bothered specifically in our case over here. Umiika mi'ila midirabanan in damar ulam rav yochan kashem shemesu yatsu mide mi'ila dvar Torah. Amen midaraisa lo islahun midirabanan isbahon. So hachinami midirabanan. So the Gemara says, yeah, we'll go back to what we learned in the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Rav Yochanan taught us that if a carbon dies without a shechita, so there is no longer an isser of mi'ila min ha-Torah. And obviously what he means to say is that there's no mi'ila min ha-Torah, but there is a mi'ila midirabanan. Now, lema tanina laha de'ula amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, so now let's think this through. So what have we learned this morning? We learned this morning that there's something called mi'ila midirabanan. And not only did we learn that this morning, but according to Rabbah, that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is, in fact, the case of Mi'ila Midirabanan. Shechting in the south is no different than the animal dying on its own. And so, therefore, it is not subject to Mi'ila Midirabanan. It's no longer Kachay Hashem, but it's just simply Mi'ila Midirabanan. Okay, good. So now the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. The who introduced us to this idea of Mi'ila Midirabanan? It's Rav Yochanan, it's Ula, they're Amoraim. Aren't they basically just saying over a Mishnah? Meaning, it's our Mishnah. Now, admittedly, it only works according to Rabbah, not like Rav Yosef. But still, according to Rabbah, our Mishnah is a case of Mi'ila Midirabanan. What is now introduced by Ula and Rav Yochanan that they're saying that there's a Mi'ila, that there's a Mi'ila Midirabanan, it's our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what they introduce. Amr af agav de tanina, it's the Richter Ula. Now, even though it's a Mishnah, I still need Ula. Why? Sakadat chamina hachala bedila min hon. Avakachim shemesu ho bedila min hon. Ema afila mi'ila midirabanan lo kamash malan. So the Gemara says, look, if there was something that was procedurally done that's wrong, i.e. instead of shechting in the north, it was shechting in the south, but it was at least shechting. So then the rabbi said, look, it was a karban, it's disqualified now, and so disqualified you can't even put it up onto the mizbech, according to Rabbah. So fine. But still, it was a procedural issue. So therefore the chachamim said, look, it looks enough like a karban, so that we're going to slap in a iser mi'ila midirabanan on the animal. But if the animal dies on its own, it's now a nevela. Rashi writes, and we all know this, but Rashi writes this, nevelas ninhu umi'isi. Nevela is disgusting. You see a carcass on the ground, no one's going to be, hey, let's, you know, see that carcass over there? Right, let's go pick it up.
They can benefit, so you send your dogs to it.
It's a carbon. It's a carbon. Because it's not... No. It's not. Again, we're talking about you got to make these fundamental categorizations in our heads. We're talking now about carbonus. We're not talking about bedek habayis. When we're talking about a carbon, the only thing in a carbon that is going to be subject to meal is kachay Hashem. Only if it's fit to go onto the mizbeach. So at this point in time, once it dies, it's no longer fit to go on the mizbeach. Okay, and people are going to stay away from it. It's mice. It's disgusting. So therefore, there'd be no reason why the chachamim would slap a meila derabanan on said animal. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is that they do. That's what Ula and Rav Yochanan are introducing. Ho the dilam in hon ema afila meila midrabanan lo kamash malan. So that's the chiddush of Ula and Rav Yochanan. That's what they're adding to the Mishnah. Okay, quick recap. Today we introduced ourselves to the Masechta of Meila, and we started the first Mishnah of the Masechta, which is talking about Meila as it relates to carbon, specifically to Kachay Kadashim. And if there was something that was procedurally wrong with the carbon, the Mishnah went through many illustrations, many examples, it's still going to be subject to Mi'ila. Our Mishnah that says that subject to Mi'ila is in a Mi'ila deraisa Mi'ila derabanan. So really what it comes out with at the end of this morning is that it's a machlokas amarayim. According to Rav Yosef, im alu lo yardu, since the Mizbeach can tolerate it, it still falls under the category of Kachay Hashem, and therefore it's going to be Mi'ila deraisa. But according to Rabbah, where if I shecht a Kachay Kadashim in the south, I can't put up onto the Mizbeach, but the evidence doesn't belong on the Mizbeach. Consequently, it's not Kachay Hashem. It's not Mi'ila Daraisa. Okay, it's Mi'ila Darabanan. That's exactly the point of Rabbah, that it falls under the category of Mi'ila Darabanan. And even though it was already taught to us by Ula and Rav Yochanan, but they were adding a point, meaning our Mishnah introduced us to Mi'ila Darabanan by a carbon that went awry. They are adding on that even if the carbon didn't go awry, the animal just simply died, it's still going to be a Mi'ila Darabanan.